California Joint Committee of Meeting to Order at 10 minutes after 1.
Chairperson?
Yes. Members present, Bill Hudson, Virginia Collins, Representative Ellis, and myself. And the first bill we have up here is 440. 440 and HJR 73. House Bill 440 would establish the Alaska Soviet Commission, and House Joint Resolution 73 by Representative Brown deals with air travel in the Soviet Union. We'll begin with House Bill 440. We have heard this bill once before in committee, and we have a committee substitute ready for discussion here today. I might add that the governor's office has decided to hold off before they do publish a fiscal note, seeing as how it's so difficult to determine the current proposed cost of the commission. Please note also that the most current version of the committee substitute is dated for today, which we adopt that today. And first I'd like to ask former Senator Vic Fisher, who is here today, to testify. Then we'll go to Bob Poe, Director of International Trade in Anchorage. So with that, if you want, did you want to testify on
this? I would just defer to the others.
Okay, we'll have Bob, I guess. Bob, are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am. I'll be Ron Miller in my office with me.
Great.
Mr. Chairman, I had the opportunity to look at the committee substitute earlier this week and spent about 40 or 45 minutes with your staff on concerns we had about it. I have a new version of the committee substitute now, working draft dated 3290, and I'll direct my testimony to that. There's about two or three areas where we have some concern with the committee substitute, and beyond these points, we think it's a pretty good bill. The main areas are in the composition of the committee, a couple of areas in powers and duties, and that would pretty much wrap it up. So I'll start with the composition of the committee. We feel that the inclusion of two members from the private sector, two from the educational community, one from the Native community, one from local government, one from nonprofit, is an improvement to the bill, and we like that very much. What we have is placing the three state members as ex officio members. Since this organization, the commission, Alaska Soviet Commission, would be housed in the governor's office, and the governor's office would therefore be responsible from a management standpoint and also from a carrying out many of the actions or directions that this commission might make. We feel it's very important that the governor's office members be full voting members and not ex officio members. We also feel that since it is in the governor's office again, we like to leave the governor as much management latitude as possible in determining who could best serve the needs of this commission out of his office, whether it's Governor Cooper or the next governor. And so while we in concept agree with you that there should be a member from the Washington, D.C. office, we don't think that should be explicitly stated in the legislation, and leave it up to the governor to decide how he will organize to carry out the governor's office responsibilities with this commission. The second area that we have concern in is in the powers and duties. Now, I do see a number of changes in the powers and duties that reflect my conversation with your staff, and we're very happy to see that. As an example, in number one, it says serve as directed by the governor as official coordinator or representative of the state of Alaska, of the state for Alaska Soviet Exchanges. We thought it was really important that the commission not be viewed as taking the place of the governor. The governor, as far as outside the state, is still the official representative of the state, but there is so much Soviet Alaska activity going on that we feel that many times this commission would be in the role of acting as a representative for the state. In number four, number five, and number six, under the powers and duties, we do have a little bit of concern. And number four, established procedures to facilitate the state's official interaction with the Soviet Union. As you know, the governor put out a letter to the Soviet Union, I have a hard time remembering exactly what the day was. It seems to be last spring. And at that time, it established or tried to establish a line of communication with the Soviets so that they could tell essentially who was on first and what's on second and so forth. It was, we had a lot of people going over the Soviet Union at that time saying they represented the state or the governor or so forth, and it was hard to keep track of that. So the governor, in his letter to the Soviet Union governors, Governor Kobetz as an example, tried to make it clear who did represent the governor and the state, and in what cases were Alaskans not representing the state. Procedures of the kind that are described in number four may be very difficult to lay out. And these procedures could be viewed by some, especially some of the citizens and citizen diplomat groups that we have around the state, as being an effort or a device for this commission to control their actions. The intent of this commission was only to help coordinate, only to help, I guess, is the best way to underline it. We're trying to help make things work better, to clarify things, to avoid confusion, to coordinate where that can be beneficial. And I think that in law, if it says this commission has the authority to establish procedures, that may be viewed as somewhat onerous. So we're a little bit concerned about that. Number five, determine and evaluate the potential for an economic partnership between the Soviet Union and the state. One of the reasons behind forming this this piece of legislation, at least from our standpoint, was that the Office of International Trade, and I would underline the word trade, has been involved in a great many of these exchanges. And certainly we've been involved in almost all of the trade activity. We've also been involved in educational exchanges, cultural exchanges, other kinds of non-trade types of exchanges. And one of the hopes for this commission was that it would be able to carry on those areas that are very important for Alaska-Soviet relations, but don't really fall under the responsibility of the Office of International Trade. On the other hand, determining the potential for economic partnership and that sort of thing really does fall under the current functions of the Office of International Trade, and we feel that that organization could probably carry out the trade aspects for the Soviet Union quite well, since the staff and the services and so forth are designed to focus on trade. So we feel that perhaps that function, that economic potential function, shouldn't fall under this commission. Number six, identify potential international trade ventures with the Soviet Union and trade problems unique to the Soviet Union. We feel the same as on number five. We do, of course, feel that OIT, International Trade, should have a very close working relationship with this commission. And in that respect, OIT could help the commission in understanding trade issues and that sort of thing. But we feel that trade may be better handled within Office of International Trade. Finally, number 11, under the powers and duties, speaks about charging for the commission services. We agree very strongly that the commission should have the right to and ability to receive funds and to charge for services. It's been a problem for Office of International Trade. We'll help different businesses do business with the Soviet Union, and we'll run up a huge phone bill for which we cannot get any kind of reimbursement for. So we do see that that's an important benefit. Our concern is how this number 11 will be viewed. Charge for the commission services and products, including publications, telephone and fax communications with the Soviet Union, interpretation services, and formal letters for introduction. I think it's been improved, but interpretation services may be viewed by those in the private sector who are beginning to staff up to provide interpretation services, may view this an intrusion by government into various business opportunities. The second is charging for formal letters of introduction. Formal letters of introduction are necessary for almost any kind of real business proposal for the Soviet Union. Could charging for formal letters of introduction be perceived as they pay the commission enough, they get a formal letter of introduction, whether they're a reputable firm or not? Or, on the other hand, if it is a reputable business operation, but they don't pay the commission for a letter of introduction, does that immediately eliminate them from being a viable business opportunity? So we see that charging for letters of introduction could be a dangerous precedent to set. I believe in the Catholic Church, Martin Luther had a problem with the Catholic Church charging for messages to God, and I think this could be a little bit of a problem. We did see the elimination of the advisory committees. We think that's very good because I don't think you want to limit who can give the commission advice or who could testify via teleconference to the commission. So we applaud that change. That really sums up the our remarks on this. Thank you. I'll be happy to answer any questions the committee might have.
Thank you, Bob. I think Representative Hudson did have a question for you back on
page 2.
4 there, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it this is John?
Bob.
Bob, this is Bill Hudson. I've been looking at this new committee substitute for 440 and trying to figure out if this approach in general is what we need, considering the Office of International Trade and the interrelationship between your office, for example, and some of the functions described in here now under this Alaska Soviet Commission. And one other thing, just to kind of point back and see if this was one of your concerns. On item number 4 under the powers and duties, it indicates now established procedures to facilitate the state's official interaction with the Soviet Union. Well, that's very broad. And there are many private operators who go over, such as the Chamber of Commerce that is either over there or going to be going over there pretty directly to try to cut their own deal, as well as many other people. And I wondered if maybe this commission at any rate, if we're going to stick with these criteria, shouldn't be responsible to facilitate the state's official public interaction with the Soviet Union. What do you think on that?
I agree with you. That's our concern, too. I think I would liken it to the way the Office of International Trade tries to proceed on those same issues. If the, as an example, the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce, if they want our help, and we can help them, we're more than happy to do that. But we never go to the state chamber and say, you must proceed this way, or you must do trade in this way. That's a very dangerous thing for government organizations to do. I think I agree with you that the commission's real intent is to help and to define how, on the most official basis, that is state to state, Alaska state to affiliate state, how those communications take place. But we should be very careful not to get in the way of these citizen diplomat efforts, because those are largely in part for the kind of growth we've seen in these relations.
Thank you. Also, Mr. Chairman, if I might, just looking back over at the composition, I also agree that this is a better composition board than what we had in the original bill. I was really quite disappointed in it. Although I still sort of hearken back to some of the things that we saw when we were over there, Representative Collins is right across the table from me, and that is that the state of Alaska, in so many instances, can't do anything without having some affiliation or some approvals from the Department of State or the military, you know, the Justice Department or Commerce and Economic Development or some of the other federal agencies, and I wondered what you thought about adding a member of either of the appropriate department, representation from the appropriate department at the federal level in this commission.
It is true that we can't do many things without some involvement from the federal government. I would say that Alaska's history in the last 18 months or 2 years has been to push the edge of that envelope about as far as to let us go. Since we do deal with, depending on the issue, a fairly broad range of U.S. agencies, whether it's federal FAA or it's on native issues or it's Bureau of Land Management or it's the Park Service or the Coast Guard, there's quite a broad range of those. I can't think of any single individual in the federal government that would encompass all of those different organizations. In fact, we've had some of them fighting among themselves. I think maybe the way to tackle that is suggested in this bill, and that is to have one of the governor's office members be from the Washington, D.C. office, and then they could go to the appropriate federal agency and deal with that. Our only concern is that in the interest of future administrations and how they organize their third floor, it may not be necessary to specify in law that it has to be somebody from the D.C. office. But we think that kind of perspective, having somebody from the D.C. office, would help bridge those discussions with the State Department or FAA or Coast Guard or whoever it is.
And then finally, if I might, since I've got hold of the button here, I would like to see this purpose spelled out a whole lot better. Some of the things you were talking about is that this, the responsibility of state government and all that it does is to facilitate, to help, to aid, and to abet the private exchange between individual businesses and individual citizens and individual groups that want, for instance, schools, and et cetera. And I think that whole purpose area could be rewritten to more specifically state that. What do you think on that, Bob?
I agree with your point of view, Representative Hudson. Our job is to help and to facilitate on this commission, not to interfere. And to the extent that these words could be wordsmithed a little bit to get that message better across, I agree with that.
Thank you.
Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In looking at the original draft that was submitted on the bill, and this is my personal opinion, so people can disagree with me if they want to, but when I looked at the original draft, I thought that what this bill put in place was basically an organization that pretended to do some things, but really was just window dressing. And the concern that I have that in looking at the powers and the duties on page 2 of the original bill was that the commission shall serve as the official coordinator and representative of the state of Alaska for all Alaska Soviet exchanges. And to me, that means business. That means social, cultural exchanges. So I think the draft hasn't changed any of that, and the concern that I had that was a pretty big charge to give the commission, and then and that the body or the procedures that had been put in place certainly couldn't help, really wouldn't be helpful in improving the commission or really helping it do what it's supposed to do or what it alleges to do. And I guess the decision that I came to is that it really depends on what the purpose is. If the purpose is to have a window dressing organization, then you don't need any money, you don't need any staff, and you don't really need anything. If you want it to have a little bit more clout and you want it to at least positively impact trade, then perhaps it could easily be housed in the Office of International Trade, and maybe just giving them a couple of additional staff people would help take care of that. Or if you want a commission that really does something and really meets the commitment it supposedly sets out to do, then I think you want something that's a little bit closer to the committee substitute, which I agree isn't perfect. So I think that we really need to decide really the scope of the commission, because, you know, you can't say it's going to do one thing and then not give it the authority or whatever it needs to do it. And so I think if the intent is just to do something that's window dressing, that's fine. And for that, you know, it can be housed under Office of International Trade and no problem. But I think if it's going to be substantive at all, then we need to do something that approaches the committee substitute.
Do you want to respond to that there, Bob?
Yeah, okay, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I agree with your point very much that we need to define the purpose. And without a good definition of the purpose, it's very difficult to set in place any of the rest of what this bill would include. The problem that we identified that we hope this commission would solve is not a window dressing problem at all. When I first came to the Office of International Trade, I heard an awful lot about protocol this and protocol that, and this minister from, you know, this African country was coming and we had to take care of him and so forth. So what I tried to do is to change the Office of International Trade so that it focused on trade. It had a clear definition, and that was that our job was to create as many new jobs for Alaskans as we could through exports and foreign investment. It was a very, very clear kind of a focus. And with the Soviets, it's not that clear, because they tend to put all these things together. They put educational exchanges, cultural exchanges, political exchanges, all in the same basket with trade. Now, with all the different groups you have in Alaska doing these things, whether it's the Kenai schools doing student exchanges, or it's something happening in Nome, or it's a state chamber trip, there's a lot of sort of initiative being taken by Alaskans. Now, some of that's directly related to trade, and I agree with you, that's probably just how it's in international trade. But there are other things, whether it's Ted Maurer's trip to on Native health issues, or it's Native exchanges or meetings of Eskimo families or what have you, there needs to be some organization that can help coordinate that. And frankly, with international trade, we don't have the staff or the time or the resources to do a good job of that. So, problem that we identified were those other very important things that weren't trade-oriented. And how could we put together an organization that could help those things? I'll give you a perfect example. Right now, we have the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce getting ready to go over to the Soviet Far East on essentially a business trip. At the same moment, within a week or so, we have the Anchorage, South Anchorage Railway Club doing an exchange with Magadan. So now we have people who the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce people may need to meet with coming to Alaska at the same time they were there. We've got South Anchorage Railway people headed over there, Magadan people headed over here, and the thing is that no one was talking to each other. Now, if this commission just spent its efforts keeping tabs on these kinds of things and offering assistance where possible, maybe these could have been better coordinated, and we wouldn't find that the two trips were somewhat canceling each other out. I'll give you another example. On the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce trip, they don't have the staff or the experience necessarily to assemble a good briefing book. So, for instance, they come to OIC to ask for assistance there. And we gladly offer it, and we're even having some of our staff use volunteer time, non-paid time, to go over to the State Chamber office and help put the books together. None of them succeed, we want to work with them any way we can. But a commission like this could help deal with some of these non-trade specific efforts at the same time that we're dealing with the Bering Strait Native Corporation mining efforts, the Alaska Airlines air routes, the Indian Valley meats arrangements, those sorts of things.
Representative Bob?
Yeah,
Representative Collins, do you want to respond to Bob's comment here?
Yeah, I think that your comments are kind of shed a little bit of light on where I'm trying to get to, and it sounds to me, which is the purpose of this, the reason for doing this in the first place, and it sounds to me that your interest appears to be more from the point of view of a division of labor, in that there are some things that have developed that that are not consistent with the charge and the mission of the Office of International Trade. And I don't have a problem with that. And maybe what we need to do is look at a foreign, maybe instead of an Alaska Soviet Far East Commission, we ought to have maybe a foreign commission that deals with all of the countries that we, with whom we are exchanging socially, culturally, and leave all the trade issues to the Office of International Trade. That would make a lot more sense than, you know, just putting out this little entity out there that that perhaps promises more than it is capable of doing. And that's the concern that I have, because I think it's critical that the state of Alaska maintain some credibility with the Soviet Union and certainly with all of our other potential trading partners. And for that reason, I didn't want to see something that was basically window dressing. And if all you're talking about is just having somebody else do some of the things that you've been asked to do, then I don't think we need a commission to do that. And however, if you're talking about perhaps, you know, in that frame of, or in that context, foreign trade office or commission, then I agree with you. But I guess in terms of what you're saying, I'm getting less and less supportive of the idea, because I guess I thought you were after one thing, and now I see you're after another, and I guess my enthusiasm is slowly ebbing.
It sounds like you're talking yourself out of support there, Bob. I guess Mike wanted to make a few comments on this.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like the some of the changes, I guess, like Virginia Collins, but unfortunately I have a conflict here, but I would like to sort of express my concerns on the legislation, and I guess I tend to agree with Virginia, but I think I'm coming at it from a little bit different direction. And I think one of the things that we talked about was having this Soviet commission housed within the Office of International Trade, and staff for international trade staffed this Soviet commission, and I still feel like that seems like the right idea, and it seems to me that the Office of International Trade is many things to many people, but I don't have any objection to that. It seems like if the university is facilitating exchanges and trade, then that spills over into, and it has, into other arrangement with chamber people and business people. So it's all, I think we need to make sure that we don't sort of delude ourselves any more than we already are. And I have some problems with, it seems like this may do that unless we link up this with the international trade. So that's why I would be in favor of housing it or having something in connection with you. And I think that the Office of International Trade or some entity like that, like Virginia said, I think, is that we need to have you doing more than just international trade, or some people say just going for the home run. We need somebody hitting the base hits as well. And like if the Chamber of Commerce goes over to Soviet Union, I think the Office of International Trade is perfectly within their jurisdiction, and to me, what I envision what the International Trade Office would be to facilitate those kinds of things. But let me briefly, I'm trying to be brief here and go through some. So I think we need to work on the purpose section. I think the section on the composition, I think that's not a big deal, but the Legislative Council is the body that's charged with international and relations with other within the statute. So I think you should have that should be changed to have a member of the Legislative Council, which is usually a member of the International Trade Committee. That's a small point, but I guess I'm a little concerned about the governor designating a chair of the commission. I see the commission as a clearinghouse, and who knows, it doesn't have to be the governor doesn't have to designate who the chair of that commission is. It just could be who's ever the best person among the commission members. I'm still maintaining a problem with the official coordinator. I agree with you, Bob. We want to have this be in a clearinghouse. We don't want it to be the official coordinator, and if you're not into the good graces of this commission, you can't get something done, or that can be squashed. I don't think we want to create a situation where you got to be in the good graces of the commission to carry out exchanges. Another concern I have is the fact that you have mandated three meetings, not by teleconference, which, you know, you're not going to get some official or ex-official coming from the governor's office in Washington, D.C. to attend a meeting. I don't think that belongs in the statute. If it becomes, if you need to teleconference some members in, fine. You don't have to mandate that they all have to be in one place at one time. The next item that I have concerns about is mandating who the supervisor has to speak a certain language and mandating how many members of that commission. Those are my concerns, Mr. Chairman. I guess you're not going to move this bill today, but I would suggest, Mr. Chairman, that we get kind of a working group to work on this legislation. But I just want to register my concerns, and actually the first time I've seen this draft, I believe. I've seen others, but this is the latest draft, and I want to at least register what concerns I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think that probably well be what we do with this is maybe refer it to a working committee after we go ahead and take testimony on today. And Mike is certainly welcome to join with the working group. I think the working group did have a meeting and iron some things out on this before. So, Representative Hudson, you have some comments?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Ron or Bob, and also to the members of the committee, I've been trying to sit down and looking now at this final draft, which, as I say, has been an improvement, but I don't believe still quite specifies what purpose we want in this thing. I agree with Representative Davis that we probably shouldn't set up yet another separate entity outside of, say, our Office of International Trade with a lot of the same types of responsibilities there. And I think that if we could create a body here that could take care of providing the public access to trade and public affairs and cultural information, everything from protocol to travel arrangements into foreign countries, into trade barriers and opportunities, exchange of information, compilation of information. And also because, and I think the reason has been amply stated, that is that we've had so many separate sort of journeys to the Soviet Union this past year, even when we were over there, where the Soviets had a great deal of question in their mind as to who was on first and what they were here for, and the last group promised us this and we've never heard from them since, and so-and-so took all of our letters from our students to such and such school and we've never heard from them since. If the state of Alaska doesn't begin to coordinate its relations, this growing relations with the Soviets, particularly with the Soviet Union, I think we stand to lose credibility and we stand to lose our contacts, and they'll deal with another country that can provide that professional contact. So I'd like to see the committee be responsible for trade and cultural and state affairs, develop policy, or at least recommend to the legislature and to the governor policies, trade policies, cultural policies, exchange policies, as well as to recommend certain initiatives. I can see as the relationships develop initiatives that we don't even imagine today that can come up in the future, and to facilitate private exchange, an opportunity where they can come for central information and to be a central reference point for all trade, cultural, and social affairs, and then to compile those activities, the report of the activities, along with viable policy recommendations, and present those to us in the legislature as well as the governor. And from then, I think we'd begin to be able to start developing budgets and, you know, look for the continuity of the program, somebody to look after what everybody is promising and are or are not pursuing.
Thank you, Representative Hudson. Did you represent Paul? Do you have more comments?
I have a question for Mr. Polk. In terms of looking at these additional duties that have kind of fallen upon the Office of International Trade, is your concern in your ability to deal with them a lack of interest or just a lack of manpower? I guess, you know, I think the office has done an excellent job, so please don't construe any of my remarks to think I'm being critical, but I think that the office has done an excellent job, and maybe we might better serve our purpose by, instead of having a commission, just to do something within the Office of International Trade. So I wanted to make sure from you, is it something you don't want to do, or is it something you would rather not do?
No, Representative Collins, it's not something I don't want to do. That's a double negative. I would like to help in any way I can. My concern is this. Sometimes the international trade rules form overcome substance. If we're to, for instance, the trade figures are just released and we found that exports from Alaska has doubled since 1986. That's good news for Alaska. I think that's because we keep focus on the trade part. If we get too much protocol hooked into the Office of International Trade, then protocol begins to squeeze the substance, if you will, out. What our feeling on such a commission was, for instance, in Khabarovsk and in Magadan and in Vladivostok, there have been protocols signed which set up an Alaska Magadan Commission, an Alaska Khabarovsk Commission, an Alaska Primorsky Commission. Now, the Soviets want some body of people on the Alaska side that they can deal with. Now, the first concern we had was not to have three commissions on the Alaska side. That would be, from our standpoint, sheer chaos. We thought that to have a committee that dealt with each of those would be good. Now, originally we thought we would have an Alaska Soviet Far East Commission. Well, Khabarovsk didn't like that. They don't care what Magadan or Primorsky about something. They want to deal with Alaska Khabarovsk. Likewise, Magadan felt the same, and Primorsky felt the same as well. They don't have a problem with us being the same people who deal with Magadan, Khabarovsk, and Primorsky, but they don't want to be the same people. They want their own five people from Khabarovsk, their own five people from Magadan, and so forth. The reason that we do a committee, a separate committee, for Soviet relations is important is because we don't have as complex or as active a relation in the non-trade area with any country like we do with the Soviet Union. We have a lot of things going on in Japan and Korea and Taiwan, and there's certainly protocol involved in that, but in terms of the protocol side, it's mine and the citizens. Diplomacy side is minor compared to the Soviet Union. I might suggest that this commission might be given some sort of a review period. Maybe we're only in a very, very active period with Soviet relations, and that eventually this will all kind of boil down into a process we can manage through our organizational structures that we have today. But right now, we have so many things going on. Our office just can't do a good job keeping track of. And that's my main concern, Representative Collins, is not doing a good job.
Well, that's a valid concern. I guess if there are no further questions for Bob, maybe we could go on and have some other people testify. We have quite a list to get through here, and we do have another bill, so we're running a little short on time. Is there a I guess Noam is also online. Is there anyone on? No? Can you hear me, Noam? I guess Noam is not online. Maybe we can go ahead and have Charles McGee in Anchorage testify. Charles, are you there?
Yes.
Could you go ahead with your testimony, please?
Yes,
for the record, my name is Charles McKee, and I'd like to comment on House Bill 440, and also take in that resolution as well. Just wrote down here a note to go by. An exchange on economic partnership authority is what we're discussing, and I think it's really a moot situation, simply because we don't have any economic exchange to negotiate when you take into consideration the impact of extortion of equity that's been occurring with the insurance industry that's enhancing the United States economy as well as the Alaska economy. I had to decline in filing with the receivership Patmore because I didn't want to be aiding and abetting a program such as that that actually gives credibility to equity scheme program, and that's actually what occurs with any form of socialism. We call it monopolizing industry and resources. I have nothing against people wanting to have liberty, and if that's what the choice of the Soviet people wish, then so be it. But we have an internal problem here, and I think that we should not focus on instituting a commission to improve relations with any country until we get together with the foreign companies that control our economic quality of life. And so I have to say no to the House bill, no to the resolution. We need to, the governor needs to focus on the problem of this equity skimming that's being perpetrated by the financial institutions that run this planet, including Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Charles. Are there any questions for Charles McGee?
Thank you,
I guess there aren't any questions. So with that, we'll go to someone here in Juneau to testify. I have Chip.
Toma. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make my comments brief. I'm very gratified to hear some of the comments today from the committee members. And this morning I had a bit of an anxiety attack, thinking that this was on the fast track, and it's obvious that there is going to be a whole lot more work on the concept of the commission. Personally, looking at the work draft, I consider it to be too little and too late. I think the commission members are too small. The number of members on the commission is too small for the types of duties that you've outlined there. And I think it's too late for this type of commission to actually be of great benefit to the state. And my concept of how this would work is probably very similar to what the commissions that have been set up in the Soviet Union are, that that we ought to have working groups. So we ought to have groups that are regional and that are working on specific areas. We ought to have three or four members on the commission that work on fishing interests, that three or four members ought to be working on cultural, artistic music interests. And these people can come together with subcommittee reports and submit those to the commission as a whole. And I think when you're dealing with such a broad, diverse opportunity and cultural entity as the Soviet Union, that you're going to have to look at it a little bit bigger than seven members. The fear that I have is that the seven members are going to be appointed are going to represent certain specific interests, and they aren't necessarily going to be common interests. And so you're actually going to be dissipating their efforts, putting them together, then concentrating. That the efforts of a fisherman such as Mayor Foos getting together with Jim Stemple from Nome, when Jim, all he wants to do is talk about airline and a ferry going up there, and all Paul wants to really talk about is getting the sea lane open and getting a cellular cable into the Soviet Union. I think you're dissipating the efforts that are already ongoing, have already been instituted. So I would encourage you to look a lot more closely at what we are trying to do here too, and encourage some of the groups that are already organized, that are already have already made their initiatives, to continue that, but then to look at the possibility of having subgroups work on papers, and they don't all have to travel to meet for a commission meeting. They can appoint one member of the subgroup to submit the subgroup's paper. We're dealing with a revolutionary nation. Why can't we revolutionize a little bit in our way of thinking about a commission? Why does it have to be a structured seven people? This is exactly what the nations of Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union are throwing off right now, is the fact that too much power was concentrated in too few people. And I think that's what this commission does. The staff aspect of this is disturbing to me. I mean, when you look at the staff aspect, you're probably looking at $150,000 a year. Travel for commission members could get up to $250,000. You're looking at a possible $500,000 fiscal note for something like this. And I don't think it's going to be that palatable for something which Mr. Poe describes as only to help. I mean, if you're going to go around saying a commission is here only to help, some of the communications problems, in my mind, is to use the university. Why can't we use the communications that the university has already set up? We have a local school teacher here in Juneau who has pioneered setting up communications with school systems in the Soviet Union, Ms. Nancy Seamount. Why can't we use interpreters that are already taking Russian in the university to work as interns and to facilitate some of this work? Why can't people get credits for helping out the commission and facilitating these other aspects? Why do we have to hire staff who have Russian at a range 21? Let's use interns, let's give them some credits for it, and let's get the university a little bit more involved on the ground with the students, you know, rather than what we're doing now. I don't want to take up any more of your time. I'm obviously concerned with the status of it, but I was gratified by what I heard, and I hope you keep working on it. Thanks a lot for your time.
Well, thank you, Chip. Are there any questions or comments for Chip? I guess I would just have to say, Chip, that anytime you form a group or anything like this, you have to draw the line somewhere as far as for who's going to be on it. And it sounds like you want everyone to be included in that, I guess.
Sir, I don't want everybody to be included, and you don't have to name 15 or 25 members to it, but I think that you should be more conscious that you don't necessarily need a commission with broad powers, that we can form other entities that have responsibilities and that can get up working papers and draft resolutions and submit them to the group as a whole. I just don't think that the seven people who are ultimately going to be appointed are going to represent so many different diverse interests that the group as itself is not going to be able to be coherent.
Thank you. We'll be more conscious. With that, I think we'll go ahead and move on to George Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is George Cruz. I'm president of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. I shall be as brief as possible because I think that the concerns that have been expressed over the committee substitute by Mr. Poe and by Representative Hudson and Collins, as well as Representative Davis, are all legitimate. It's obvious that this concept needs a great deal more thought, and the idea of some kind of a working group to sort this all out perhaps would be a wise step. Representative Hudson's comments about the need for coordination are just, as well as Bob Poe's, are very important. Nobody really knows all that's going on among the Soviet Union and Alaska, and there has to be some kind of an organization to coordinate that, whether it's an official state organization or whatever. But something needs to be done, and perhaps a commission is the most viable way of doing that. I will not go through the bill item by item because I think Mr. Poe expressed our concerns as well as anybody. There is one thing that I would like to just suggest, and if Mr. Poe is still in Anchorage, I'd be interested in his comments on it. I think that it would be very important to keep this commission activity outside of the Office of International Trade for one very important reason. The Office of International Trade in the past has been somewhat of a political football, and it has moved from the governor's office to the Department of Commerce and back again, I think, from time to time. One thing that I think we have to be very aware of and concerned is that, that obviously we will have a new governor in 1991, and we don't know who that's going to be or what his or her position may be in international trade or what he or she may wish to do with the Office of International Trade. Our relations with the Soviet Union are ongoing, however, and they're developing more and more all of the time. And it's, as I believe Mr. Pope pointed out, these relations are somewhat unique, and the whole dealings with the Soviet Union are unique and need special attention. So I would urge the committee to give special consideration to this commission as a commission in outside of the Office of International Trade. So with that, I will conclude my remarks or testimony.
Thanks, George. Did any committee members have any questions for George? Maybe, Bob, are you still there in Anchorage?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Can you respond to getting out of OIT?
Yes, sir. The Office of International Trade has moved around. George, I think, does correctly state the history of the office. And if I had a chance to talk to the next governor, I'd, of course, put my pitch in to leave it in the governor's office because I think it's important that it have that formal link to the governor. That gives it a lot more status on the international circuit. I think George makes a good point. If you want to make sure that Soviet relations between Alaska and Soviet Union are at the highest level, you need to make sure it stays in the governor's office. At this point, there's nothing that really keeps the governor or forces the new governor to keep international trade in his or her office. And it very much does depend on their perspective relative to the importance of international trade. So I think I agree with George. I would keep it out of international trade, but have a very close link with the Office of International Trade.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
With that, we'll go to back to Anchorage and hear from Elisa Conisberg. Are you on there, Lisa?
Yes. Good afternoon, Representative Janko, and my name is Lisa Conisberg. I'm a long-term resident of Anchorage, and I am here representing myself. I'm here to express strong support for this measure. I think it is necessary, and it would be a timely action on the part of our state government. Given Alaska's special geographic relation to the Soviet Union, I think it's essential to create such a focal point for Alaska-USSR interactions. And I think that it's also conceivable that to the extent the Commission can help to improve U.S.-USSR relations through the successful fulfillment of its purposes, it would also be helpful to the Soviet Union in resolving their internal problems, of which we're all well aware. About the legislation specifically, I have read it carefully, and I would like to make the following two suggestions. That under Section Powers and Duties, page number 2, paragraph number 2, that there be added two subparagraphs, 2A and 2B. Subparagraph 2A to read as follows, and this is merely a suggestion, of course, that in fulfillment of the function to serve as a forum for the exchange of information, that the Commission develop a public information clearinghouse to provide available information on request. Subparagraph 2B, and again this is a suggestion, that the Commission develop a specific mechanism and procedures for input from private citizens. I have more I can think of saying, but those are the main points that I wanted to cover. That concludes my testimony. Thank you. I hope this bill passes.
Thank you, Lisa. Are there committee members have any questions for Lisa? If there aren't any questions, so we'll come back here to Juno and hear from Dixie Belcher.
Yes, I'm not going to be testifying. I've been out of the country, actually in the Soviet Union for the last 2 months, and just got back last night and just saw this, but Susan Clark from my organization, Chilean, will be testifying.
Okay. Susan?
I'm Susan Clark. I'm on the board of CHMI here in Juneau, and also the chair of the CHMI Diomede Ice Board that will be working to help celebrate the melting of the ice curtain between the Diomedes. This is the first time that I've seen it also, but in listening to testimony and talking with Dixie, there are a couple of points that I wanted to make. One was this, it concerns me that this commission is the official, to be the official coordinator, the only entity that everything funnels through. What we have seen in the last 2 years, in the last 1 year, in the last 6 months, in the last 3 months, is an explosion of people at every level making contacts with the Soviet Union and the Soviet Union responding to that. And as much as any of us want to own or try to keep tabs on all the things that are happening, the explosion is beyond our control at this point. There are individuals, there are organizations, there are all sorts of things happening that really aren't under the auspices of a governmental entity. In Seattle alone, there are scores of organizations dealing with the Soviet Union, the Soviet Friendship Society, the American-Soviet Organization for Dialogue, in all parts of the sector. And to my knowledge, Seattle or Washington State has nothing that regulates, or which is the word that comes to mind to me from this commission. Certainly, we are in favor of networking with each other, and the clearinghouse that Lisa Cronenberg talked about, a clearinghouse where people can get information, see what other people are doing, that's exciting. But anything that all of us have to funnel through is scary. Under the purpose, the commission would be the point of contact and official coordinator for everyone, including the private sector and nonprofits, and I don't think that that is appropriate. Under the composition, you have a number of groups, or at least one I know in Alaska operating right now, the Foundation for Social Innovation, which has, it's actually an office or sub-office of an organization working in the Soviet Union, so you have a partnership there. Organizations that have already established working partnerships. For example, the foundation is establishing offices throughout the Soviet Far East and in some other countries. And so please be sensitive to including some of these organizations that already have their own working structure that is doing amazing things. When you talk about three ex officio members of the commission, my background as a grassroots person, the idea of adding the three ex officio members as voting members raises red flags to me, because immediately you have a political entity having stacked votes on a commission, and I think we have to be real careful about giving any one entity three votes right off the top. I agree with Representative Davis that if you establish the commission, the governor shouldn't be designated the chair. The people on the commission should be designating the chair. Under powers and duties, it says serve as directed by the governor as the official coordinator. The original bill had for all Alaska-Soviet exchanges. That word all was taken out of this substitute, and I'm glad it was, but again, it's a feeling that anything that happens, any exchange, family, schools, anything has to go through this, and it's a red flag to me. Hosting official Soviet delegations, certainly we need people hosting and helping out, but this commission shouldn't be the official host. There are times when it should be the official host, when
the private sector should be the official host when different entities should be the official host. And in terms of protocol, I think it's important for all of us when we're dealing with the other countries, and as Representative Hudson brought out, it's not just the Soviet Union that we're dealing with, it's also other countries, and protocol, we need to educate ourselves everywhere on the protocol of how to deal with other countries appropriately. On the charge for commission services, I would again also be very careful when you set up a commission through which everyone has to go, and then you say they have to go through it and they will charge for it. That's a double problem there. And certainly teleconference. Alaskans know we need to do most things by teleconference these days, or an awful lot, and to take teleconferencing out of an option of this bill would be serious. And finally, when you get to staff, the supervisor of the staff doesn't need to be fluent in Russian. Someone on the staff should be. But in every office, there are certain people who are fluent and certain people who are not. And I don't think it's necessarily a requirement of whoever is in charge. That's all that I have to say.
Okay. Well, thank you, Susan. Your question for Susan?
Not necessarily a question, but sort of a confirmation. That, Susan, particularly relating to the fact that we don't want to get the state involved in any and everything that is going on between the relationship between Alaska and the Soviet Union, was my strong point when I got down to establishing procedures to facilitate the state's official public interaction. I don't see any problem with this commission being responsible for the public interaction, meaning those which government underwrites and agencies travel and things of this nature, but I would hate to see them be fully responsible for, say, your travel or any other private individual's travel or any company that wanted to go over and try to cut their own deal.
I guess we have to be careful with the word public, because public to me means the public.
No, what
and,
I mean,
and you
yeah,
meant
public
government.
Funding.
Public funding.
Government.
Yeah.
Government would put it with.
Okay.
Thank you, Susan. I think we can go back to Anchorage and take up the one last person there, and then we'll come back here to Juneau and finish up. Keith Mosley in Anchorage, are you on? Keith Mosley in Anchorage, are you ready to testify at this time?
Yes, I am.
Would you go ahead with your testimony, please?
Yes, thank you. Yes, my name is Keith Mosley, and I'm here as a representative of the Center for Soviet Alaskan Resources. And I've been listening to the presentations today, and I certainly support much of what's been said, so I don't want to repeat that. I think it's important to realize that this is a very, very large operation that you're trying to cut out here, and it would take considerable time and effort to accomplish this. Our organization has been working for approximately 9 months to do some of the basic things that you're talking about, such as to act as a clearinghouse. We're not functioning that way yet. We have gone through all the fundamental business planning, and we have aboard 15 active, experienced, and concerned citizens. We are what's been referred to as citizen diplomats. Most of us have been either and or on trips to the Soviet Union or hosting Soviets here, have been involved in various kinds of these programs. And the more we get involved, the more we learn, the more we realize that there is a tremendous vast amount of information and sensitive issues that have to be dealt with here. And whatever board or commission is formed, I feel it's imperative that these people have a great depth of understanding, or at least the access to the information to support that. It's not an easy job, as was pointed out, I think, by Susan a little while ago. There are many hundreds of organizations really across the country now involved in citizen diplomacy, accomplishing wonderful things. This commission, I think, is representing government. Certainly, I think the government needs to have a handle as much as possible, but I think that there's such a large need for the private sector in the form of citizen diplomacy and related activities to do things that perhaps the government can't do, the person-to-person kind of activity. And in the time that we've been together, our 9 months, we've collected computer a great deal of data of persons and events and projects which we're ready to use as a networking system. We have contacts with the Office of International Trade and the university and other major organizations, not only here at Anchorage, but in other parts of Alaska. We are also in networking with a number of organizations in the Lower 48. And so we're aware of a lot of the problems and the needs that do exist. I am concerned about the large amount of money that needs to be appropriated, and maybe that's consistent with the amount of work that has to be done. Our budget is proposed probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $100,000 a year. Right now, it's the only thing we're lacking is money. We have the power, the manpower, person power, and the facilities and equipment to go ahead and do some of this work. So I would be happy to send in that information to persons who may be interested in Juneau or in the governor's office.
Okay, thank you, Keith. I don't see any members raising their hands to ask you questions, so I guess there's no questions. That will go on to Senator Fisher. Did you want to testify on this legislation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. First of all, I want to say that I strongly support this particular bill. I have been involved in working on the Soviet programs for many years, decades ago already with the University of Alaska, last year with the State Chamber of Commerce, with also with the Community Enterprise Development Corporation, Alaska Commercial Company, and others. More recently, in recent months, with the University of Alaska as Director of Soviet Relations. In all of these activities, in all my civic extracurricular activities, I have seen the need to bring together, to have a place where there is information available. At the same time, I strongly endorse our generalize and say most of the comments that have been made so far, except the one that made reference to the university possibly functioning as coordinator. I might just mention as an aside, the university has a very large number of activities going with the Soviet Union, and we have a handful. We have more than 20 formal agreements with the with Academy of Sciences and academic institutions in the USSR. We have about 10, 15 additional agreements and proposals in the works right now. We anticipate that these activities will probably within 2 years bring in millions of dollars of research money, aside from other activities, into Alaska. We have found that this is a purported question of international versus Soviet related. We have found that the number of interactions with the Soviet Union far exceeds the total of all other interactions with foreign countries on the part of the University of Alaska. We have the same kinds of problems that have been mentioned with respect to travel. It was mentioned that State Chamber of Commerce is going to have a delegation in the Soviet Union later this month. The Rotary Club will have a delegation. The Alaska Pacific University will have a delegation in the Soviet Union this month, and the University of Alaska. President O'Dowd is going with several people, including me. We're signing some major agreements in Moscow, Novosibirsk, and Vladivostok on further cooperation, joint facility use, and so on. So, again, my experience indicates that we really need to have a place where we can turn, where we know what others are doing, if nothing else, who is sending a jet over here on Aeroflot that we can come back on from Magadan. With respect to the specific bill, Mr. Chairman, many of the points have been made. I'd like to emphasize a couple of specific points. One that hasn't been mentioned, but I think is very desirable, is the change in the committee substitute to read Alaska Soviet Commission and dropping the Far East, because our activities, Alaska's activities, include Siberia, Irkutsk, Novosibirsk, many activities with Moscow and Leningrad and other places, and I believe that we should not restrict ourselves to the Far East. I believe the statement of purpose does need to be expanded and clarified. I think that, and this is following up on Susan's and Keith's comments, I believe that it's very important to acknowledge the role of other organizations. I believe there should be a clear statement that the function of the commission is to assist others in maintaining liaison and carrying out activities with the Soviet Union. I believe here and further on under the specific powers and duties, I believe there should be specific language that the commission shall utilize, that they shall assist, provide services to and through other organizations such as COSAR, the one that Keith was talking about, CHMAI, the Foundation for Social Innovation, and others. And I'm not here talking about any specific ones. I would throw in the State Chamber of Commerce that has been very useful. I think that the commission, if it's to be a coordinator, should rely on others, and as Chip suggests, maybe use task forces and sort of delegate activities. Right now, the language under powers and duties on page 3, line 6, deals, says specifically, assist with exchanges and ventures. I would expand that greatly. Let me make a couple of other specific comments. Again, I too am concerned about the commission coordinating everybody and everything. I think that is impossible. I find even within the university, even the Office of Soviet Relations cannot coordinate all the university activities and shouldn't. There should be a lot of room for individual initiatives, and the representation and coordination of the specific activities should deal with official state government representation and coordination. I don't think the commission is going to be in a position of coordinating CHMAI, the University of Alaska, and so on, per se. I think they should, you know, provide a central information service and so on, and with others maybe carry on coordination from. But I agree that there should be no regulation, no mandating activities any part, anyone's part. They should not restrict any initiative, entrepreneurial activities on the part of those engaged in Soviet-related activities. Specifically on item 4, page 2, line 25, facilitate states' official interaction. That has been mentioned several times. I read that to include the University of Alaska, but since that point has been raised a number of times, I think that that should be made very clear that we're talking about state government here. Coming back to page 3, line 6, where it suggests you have a clear statement of assistance, utilization, so on. I would use the terms, words communication and transportation. Those have been very important elements in all of our activities in relation to Soviet Union. So whenever we string words together, if we could have information on and or whatever, assist. If we have communication in general and transportation, it would be helpful. I want to also come back to subsection 11, which is line 18 on page 3, and that's charging for commission services. Earlier it talks about commission providing coordination and various information services. You can't, and don't forget that this charge, the word charge is preceded the commission shall. The commission shall charge for the commission services, which means that sort of every time they answer your phone, under this strict interpretation, would be they shall charge. I think that that should be a separate section with a may in front of it rather than a shall. And lastly, I too have a question about sort of the new concept of saying there shall be at least 3 employees on the staff and the requirement for fluency in language on the part of the head of the agency. But in general, again, I believe that this is a very important step forward, and I strongly urge you to move the bill along.
Thank you, Senator. We do intend to, when we get the all the little problems worked out, fees and whatnot, we do intend to move it on. I think everyone does pretty much agree that there is definitely a need for coordination. I just would like to thank you for all the work that you've done with regards to Soviet Union over the years. I know that you've been working on it before it became a glamorous thing in the past few years, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think that does it for people who want to testify on this bill here in Juneau. But we do have one more person in Anchorage to testify. Patrick Reinhardt, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can. I can hear you fine.
Great. My name is Patrick Reinhardt. I'm with Challenge Alaska, which is a nonprofit organization that provides sports and recreation opportunities for disabled Alaskans. And I guess I have a question that relates to a project that we're starting and just trying to get a better handle on how this commission might help us out with this particular project. I guess I don't want us to forget the aspect that Alaskans have things to share that aren't always business orientated, but that are things that are human service orientated, and we do have things that we'd like to share with our Soviet counterparts. Let me describe to you a project that we'll have on the drawing board right now, and it's starting to get off the ground, and it's one called Wheels for Peace, in which we're going to be, it looked like it was going to start out as collecting mobility aids like wheelchairs and walkers and other adaptive equipment and sending it to the Soviet Union because there are so many disabled people there right now after the Afghanistan conflict. And right now it looks like this project might expand to kind of a nationwide basis. We're trying to get the Rotary International involved and some major air carriers to bring equipment here, become a transshipment place, and we would send over thousands of pieces of adaptive equipment. Eventually, we'd like to see some people-to-people exchanges between disabled Alaskans and disabled Soviets, hopefully sharing some of the disability-related technology that's available to us in the U.S. And I guess it comes down to my question is, how would a commission like this serve projects of this nature in so much as that they're nonprofit organizations basically developing these types of projects?
Thank you, Patrick. I guess probably the person that could maybe best to answer that would probably be Bob there in Anchorage. Bob,
yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. The kind of issue that Patrick with Challenge Alaska raises is exactly why we would want this commission. Office of International Trade gets regular phone calls from a variety of groups who have very worthy projects like the one with Challenge Alaska. A lot of times they ask us if we have funding available or that we can help them in a lot of different ways. Generally, we have to say we're not really equipped either financially or staff-wise to do that. But I think he raises a very good point, and that is that trade is a
you, Bob. Patrick, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And that really concludes my testimony, unless anybody has any questions for me.
No questions for you from here, so I guess that probably wraps it up for House Bill 440, unless there's anyone else that's interested in testifying.
No.
And what we'll probably do with House Bill 440 is keep it in committee, and I guess I would direct people who have expressed concerns to get with the staff of the committee, and we'll incorporate those concerns into another committee substitute as best we can, and bring it up as soon as possible for moving out of here. So what we'll do right now, I guess, is move on to HJR 73 and begin to take testimony on that. The first person we have here to testify on HJR 73 is Dana Brockman.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Dana Brockway. I'm Director of the Division of Tourism, and my testimony will be very brief, and because I suspect what I have to say has been heard by the committee before with regard to this and other issues. The three elements that are referenced in the resolution are pointed toward accommodating freer access between Alaska and the Soviet Far East, and for that matter, other parts of the Soviet Union, are essential steps toward gaining the kind of access that could be a benefit to tourism. With Alaska as the North American gateway to the Far East, tourism would benefit from additional visitation from people traveling from the United States to the Soviet Far East, and naturally that has benefit to Alaska's tourism industry. Such flights would create strong interest in new special interest markets that are promotable for the state of Alaska, and I think that it's clear that improving relations and contact with the Soviet Far East strengthens Alaska's image as a location to experience some of the Soviet or the Russian and North American history that we have so bountifully in this state. In addition, I think that it would certainly add to our visibility and image as a catalyst in helping to improve relations between East and West. These three issues that are discussed in the resolution are necessary steps toward that kind of free access, and the Division of Tourism supports this resolution as a result. That concludes my testimony. If anyone on the committee might have a question.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
I guess I need to apologize to Mary Ford, who is here to testify on behalf of Kay Brown, and I just overlooked my notes, but maybe you can go ahead and talk about the resolution off.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mary Corr. I work for Representative Kay Brown. She's unable to join you today, and she apologizes for that, but she serves on the House Finance Committee, and there's several key votes that they asked her to remain in committee for. She would like me to express that her interest began and became very focused about a year ago when she was a guest of Aeroflot and was able to travel to Moscow and to Leningrad to a variety of airports across the Soviet Union. As a result of that interest, she has been co-sponsored this House Joint Resolution with Representative Mike Davis. There is some recent information that has been brought to my attention by Ron Miller, and I don't know if Ron Miller is still on the line. Representative Jacko, Ron Miller has some timely information about recent meetings. The question was raised whether or not this is a timely joint House resolution. We've seen that Bering Air is now back in business and no longer required to carry a navigator. So the question's been raised to Representative Brown whether this resolution needed to proceed, and from the latest information I have gained from Ron Miller, that it is still a very timely resolution, and if he's online, he can speak to these recent changes that have resulted with meetings between the U.S. State Department and the Ministry of Civil Aviation in the USSR. If not, I'm ready to speak to that.
Okay, Mary, is Bob, are you still online?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, and Ron Miller is in the office with me.
Okay, so can you guys go ahead and respond to Mary's inquiry there?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chairman, this is Ron Miller. We just received notice that this week in London, the U.S. and the Soviets signed what has been titled a Memorandum of Consultation regarding the bilateral aviation agreement and the amendment to that agreement. This memorandum is an agreement in principle. They are scheduling another round of discussions for April, and they expect to have a firm agreement signed after the April meeting. The memorandum of consultation provides for up to two American carriers to establish routes from a site in North America, such as Anchorage, to Magadan and Habarovsk. It also provides for Aeroflot to fly from Magadan and Habarovsk to San Francisco with a mandatory stop in Anchorage. There is a sunset clause on that mandatory stop of March 1993. The memorandum goes on to describe new transatlantic routes between North America and the Soviet Union. But this is a very positive step forward in establishing regular passenger and air cargo service between Alaska and the Soviet Far East.
Thank you for the update, Ron. Mary, is that sort of what you're looking
for? I'll conclude my remarks by saying that this is still a memorandum of consultation and has not been finalized. And it may be finalized at a meeting in April, or it may be finalized during the Gorbachev-Bush summit planned for June of this year. Representative Brown feels that it would be very timely to have the House Joint Resolution 73 passed and presented to the various people identified in the document so that it can another piece of evidence that the people of Alaska support this trade route agreement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. It is my intention if we can get enough membership to move it off of it. Apparently, we do have people on in Nome, and I think the original intention of the people in Nome was to testify on ACR 73. Is that correct? Nome, can you hear me? Is there anyone on in Nome? Well, I guess Nome equipment isn't working anymore. Is there anyone else locally here that would like to testify on ACR 73?
This is just my name is Dixie Belcher, and I'm the executive director of Chimay, and I've just returned from the Soviet Union. I just would like to include Ambassador Gennady Gerasimov, who is the spokesperson for the foreign ministry in Moscow, to receive a copy of this resolution, because as you probably know, he was the primary person to get permission for the initial flight of Alaska Airlines from Nome to Providinia, and when I just spoke with him in Moscow a month ago, he was going to work personally on Bering Air being able to fly again into Providinia without a Soviet on board. And I know that you have a copy going to Shevardnadze, but because of the bureaucracy over there and they have a few other things on their mind, Ambassador Gerasimov will not see it. So I just strongly urge you to include his name.
Okay, I guess we could handle that as an amendment. Just put that in over there again when you.
Okay, why don't you try to come with her?
action on HR 73.
Maybe, Mr. Chairman, I'll grab the second.
No.
Okay, please.
This is the moderator and Juno. The committee is standing at ease right now. Okay, you can tell me if you're doing that. No, no, I don't.
It shouldn't have come out.
No, LIO. This is Juno LIO.
Bring the committee back to our quarter, and this time I would entertain a motion for moving on HJR 73 to individual recommendations.
Sure. What are we going to add? Is there some language?
Oh, I'm sorry.
To add Renata Grozimov to,
yes,
to receive a copy of this resolution,
yes,
at the appropriate place?
Wherever it fits fine with me.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we can do that.